Hey, how's it going? How you been? What's scrappin'?
The weekly scratch, motherfuckers.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the weekly scraps, episode 51. Oh my goodness, shenanigans. Yo, what the fuck was that this past weekend? I do not know what happened. Maybe we are due for a break, which is what we're going to get this weekend from the UFC. The fights were pretty underwhelming. I'm not really sure what to attribute that to, but it definitely wasn't the greatest card. It wasn't very exciting. And of course, not every fight needs to be a knockout in order to be considered exciting, or finishes to be considered exciting. But let's be fair here. The fights were so... there was like just very, very slow. There was like an ambiance in the arena that just did not seem like high level MMA full of entertainment, for lack of better words. I can't really put my finger on it and really get the proper words to really explain what it was. But I think to sum it all up, it was very underwhelming. Point blank, period. Crazy weekend though. For us, we had the Cortica event, which was pretty fun. Ithaca versus SUNY Cortland, my alma mater, and SUNY Cortland. We came up short, and I'm just like, of all the times we decide to lose a game, we lose at the fucking MetLife. We should have won that shit. But we were down. We did battle back in the second half, and it looked like we had the momentum on our side. And next thing you know, they do like a kind of like a flea flicker. They pass it to one guy. The other guy passes it back. The quarterback has it. There's a wide receiver deep in the backfield by himself or by his lonely. By my lonely. Catches the ball, touchdown. Now we're down two scores when it was a very manageable situation. All we had to do was get the stop, and we could have potentially had a chance to come back and win the game. That was the end of it. Once they scored, pretty much everyone started to clear out the MetLife Stadium. But it is what it is. I had a ton of fun. We got to have a pretty sick tailgate. I haven't seen all these people in like forever. So that was really cool to see everybody chop it up a little bit. And even though it was brief, because we missed the freaking train that should have gotten us there about 45 minutes earlier, which would have given us more time to pregame, tailgate, and really get to like catch up with everybody and see how everyone was doing. But we had some time to say what's up, hi, and bye, that type of thing. But then we had a long ride back home. Long, sad ride back home. We lost the game. It is what it is, though. We had fun. And that's really all you can ever ask for. Other than that, I didn't get to watch the Giants play. I don't know if it's a bye week. I think it might be a bye week this week. I didn't get to check the schedule. But we did lose that game. And I ended up going to the city to get my Invisalign on Friday. Just my bottom teeth. I don't know if you guys can see that. It's pretty cool, though. I expected more pain because I hear all these horror stories. The most pain that I have is when I take them off and I try to bite into something. So only my bottom teeth, one of my tooth are like not crooked, but this like in front of the other two on the side and his neighbors, the left and the right. And I always want to get it taken care of just because it makes it so much easier to floss if they were a little bit more in line. I can floss everything else perfectly fine. The only thing I can't floss is these two right here. And when I do, it gets caught and snagged tooth. It sucks. Not snagged tooth. I definitely don't have snagged tooth teeth. But I'm fortunate that my teeth are not really bent out of shape, because I've seen some pretty bad ones that really, really take some time to develop to get them back into place. So shout out to Dr. Sarowitz, my guy over with the Brooklyn Nets. He took care of us, took care of me, and got me with that. So thank you for the Invisalign Connect. And hopefully my smile is A1 in a couple of weeks. It's actually suggested that I wear this while I train. Wear it with my other mouthpiece. I guess it's going to give me extra protection, especially with the shifting, sparring and stuff. When I do get to spar, I think the last thing I want is my teeth to be moving around or not really all the way fitted because of the shifting of the teeth and then getting cracked in the mouth. That just does not seem like it's a smart and safe thing whatsoever. So I'm going to make sure I do the right thing and take care of myself on that end. Other than that, man, I got another camera set up for the first time. Hopefully the setup is pretty good. I'm using my phone. So I could buy another camera, but I'm kind of like, this is fine. Put on airplane mode, do not disturb, and turn off the Wi-Fi, and I should be good so I don't get Wi-Fi calling. So I'm trying to step this up a little bit. I just want to see what it looks like, or if I should just keep the one-shot visual when it's a one-person podcast. Eventually, when I get other people in, it would be nice to have the other camera set up so that we can really, really get some better visuals of when people are talking in X, Y, and Z, and so forth, and so forth. But other than that, man, let's get into our weekend rewind real quick. So just taking a look at the card, Tracy Cortez, she goes up to bantamweight, has a great fight against Vanessa Mello. She gets the decision 30-27, 30-27, 29-28. The second round was really, really slow. There were some points where she was throwing some strikes and she was getting clips coming in. She was landing, but she was eating some shots as well, which was a little concerning. I'm like, man, you can't keep taking all the, I know you're tough, but she was taking some clean shots, like not really moving the head off the center line or really trying to roll with it. She was throwing and running into the, not running, let me not say she was running into it, but she was eating and catching a lot of shots right on the face, right on the chin. She had a quick, slick left hook that she was throwing a couple of times. That was really nice to see. Other than that, it seemed like she had the much bigger advantage on the ground. She took advantage of that. In the second and third rounds, got the fight to the ground. Douglas Silva de Andrade beats the former champ in Henna Barral. I think this might make five in a row. For the Baron, 30-27, 30-27, 30-26. Both guys bumped up to featherweight. Really good fight. Barral's now 1-2 at the featherweight division in the UFC. And it's just crazy to think, once upon a time, this guy was on a 31-fight win streak while claiming the UFC title. Putting guys away, beat Faber twice, one time finishing him, and now to see how his career just was like up, it just seems like it's just been such a long way down for him, and it's really frustrating to watch because he's still super talented. I can't tell if he just doesn't have it or if his technique is just behind the times and everyone knows what he's looking to do. Or post-USADA. So there's so many different factors and variables with that one. And again, I did invite him to come train with us because I think he's very knowledgeable. And I think, you know, you don't get to his level, you know, even pre or post USADA, as you may, whatever you want to call it. I still think there's knowledge to be shared there with a guy of his caliber. And it'd be nice to pick his brain. And it would just be an honor to train with a guy like that. So high-level BJJ, it'd be fun to get some rolling in. Now he's got some downtime. I don't know if the UFC is going to let him go just yet. I could be wrong. That could be actually his sixth loss in a row. But this one, you know, he looked better in terms of his physique. Didn't look like he was all sucked out from cutting the weight down to 35 like he has in the past. So I don't know, man. So De Andrade looked great. Throwing some heavy, heavy leather. And it's crazy to see how Petr Yan made him quit. And he goes out there and does this to Henan Barral. Obviously, a different weight class, not cutting as much weight. There's probably some other factors involved in that. But I never thought Andrade was that good. But he looked solid in that fight and looked physically strong. And Marlon Vera actually said that he hit harder than John Lineker. And he fought both those guys. Next fight. Our boy, Rude Boy, Randy Brown. Finishes triangle choke. I almost said TKO because he did clip that man something serious with that knee. But he gets the triangle finish over the submission specialist. Or I don't know if he's a specialist, but definitely a ground guy fighter. I don't know how well versed Warley Alves is in the ground game department, but it looked like that's where he wanted the fight. Striking wise, Randy Brown looked phenomenal as he always does. He takes his time, picks people apart. And it just looks like he's getting better with time. His physique, he's starting to look like he filled out a little bit. He's got some gains in there, looking real ripped. Like a Jamaican, like a Rude Boy Stallion. Really cool to see that, though. And to show some versatility where he has struggled in the past on the ground. Hanging out, he's got one hand behind his head, both hands behind his head, grabbing the ankle, just kind of chilling. Not even utilizing those long-ass legs, go-go gadget legs to throw up kicks or anything like that. Just waiting for him to jump into the guard so they can show him that, like, yo, I'm dangerous down here too. And sure enough, the triangle was a little ugly, though. I will go on record and say that. The triangle was a little ugly. But sure enough, he was landing those elbows, was able to pull the head down and get the finish. Warley Alves ended up tapping on his back. So good thing the ref was in the right position to actually see that. Otherwise, he could have possibly went out unconscious while he was trying to avoid that. Another great fight. Ricardo Ramos at 145 as well in featherweight division. Gets a first round submission rear naked choke over Luis Garagario, who was once undefeated before this. And he looked good. He looked great. He's the one who had that crazy spinning elbow knockout when he spun twice in a row at Madison Square Garden. Or was it Barclays Center? It was in Brooklyn. No. Brooklyn. I'm going to say Brooklyn. I think it was at the Barclays Center when he fought Ayman Zahabi, Firas Zahabi's younger brother. And he got the finish over him at that fight. James Krause, the James Krause. Let me correct myself. Looked phenomenal, getting a KO finish over a very tough Sergio Moraes, who is no slouch on the ground, looking to keep the fight there and at any cost, dragging his opponents down there where he can utilize his couple-time world championship BJJ black belt credentials. And in that fight, he just really couldn't get Krause to commit with him on the ground. Krause wasn't playing his games. He picked him apart like a surgeon on the feet. Where Krause did get caught a couple of times by Moraes' wild style punching. But he did, for the most part, keep him at bay, utilize that long jab, throwing that calf kick, and he's showing the hip rotation. So peep this technique. He's showing the hip rotation, and now he's selling it. Now he's got his opponent thinking, okay, every time his hip rotates, we know he's going for the kick. So he rotates the kick, the hip for the kick, and he comes up into a knee. So it's a faint low kick into the step-in knee. He actually finished Warley Alves with that in one of his previous fights. And I think this now makes 6 wins in a row for the James Krause. I think I got to keep doing that every time I say his name. Gets the finish 4 minutes and 19 seconds into the very third round and gets Sergio Moraes out of there. Beautiful jab. And then he feints the jab, steps in with the two, lines him up right on the chin. Moraes falls. Falls forward, lands it on his back. He lands one big hammer fist afterwards. The ref pushes him off. Fight is over. What else do we have? Fights that I want to talk about. Let's go Andrew Muniz versus Antonio Arroyo. Now, he lost a position. Muniz lost his position, very dominant position, from what the ref thought was a illegal knee to the face. Arroyo played it off well. It was legal, and I don't think it really touched the guy. I don't think it touched him. I know they showed the replays, and like Michael Bisping said, he deserves an Oscar for playing that up, and they couldn't use the instant replay unless it was a fight-ending situation. Not a fight ending situation, it was a foul. So they were not able to utilize the instant replay for the ref to look and say, hey, you played me. So he lost his position. He got caught with some bombs after that, but he battled back. And I do think with all his submission attempts, Muniz reminds me of a new era Damian Maia. Maybe we won't see him getting better on the feet like Damian Maia is now competent on the feet with his striking. It's efficient to get the job done to where he wants the fight to be, which is the grappling. Muniz, I don't think he's there yet, but once he gets a hold of you, he gets you down. He's looking for submission after submission after submission, kind of like a Charles Oliveira, definitely like a Damian Maia. I mean, I won't say he's utilizing butterfly guard like Damian Maia because I haven't really got to see too much out of him, but on the Dana White Contender Series show and in this debut fight, over another Contender Series opponent, he really, really impressed, if you ask me. 30-27 across the board. Ooh, Charles Oliveira, DuBronx, knocks out our New York guy, Jared Gordon, 1 minute 26 seconds into the first round. Nasty precision on that punch, man. Jared is a tough dude. As tough as they come, he can eat punches from anyone and keep pushing forward. And I was really impressed with DuBronx maintaining his composure from the pressure from Jared. Jared walked right into that, what was it, a hook? I believe it was a hook. No, I think it was a right hand that dropped him right before they hit the cage. Jarrett gets up to try to recover and walks right into a beautiful uppercut placed perfectly on the chin that folds, collapses Jared Gordon. And he put out a heartfelt speech and on posts on Instagram, you know, about, you know, it's bigger than just fighting. You know, so many thoughts went through his head. He's not going to quit. You know, he definitely thought about that. And, you know, he's going to pick himself up like he always does and continue to push forward. And I commend him for that, because there's only so many times you can take losses on a big stage like that before it starts to mentally affect people. And it takes a special person to be able to battle those demons, especially in the hospital when he talked about the doctors offer him opiates and everything that he has ever stood for, you know, trying not to relapse again, fighting his heroin addiction, and being able to say no in such a vulnerable state where you just came off of a huge loss, devastating. And for him to say, you know what? No, doc, I'm good. I don't need this. I'd rather not put this back in my system. Because, you know, he said he looked over at his wife, or his fiance. I'm not sure if they're married yet. And he looked over at his friends, and, you know, that gave him the strength to be like, you know, this is what I have, and I don't want to lose this by going back down a rabbit hole again, by getting caught up again with these over-the-counter drugs, those street drugs, those opiates, man. They destroy lives. It sucks, because this was a great opportunity for him. Although I already said last week he was fighting a very losing uphill battle, this was a fight for Oliveira to look good in, and it was a fight for Jared Gordon to come through and post a major upset in a very big way in a very stacked division. And unfortunately, he wasn't able to get it done. But, you know, you can never sleep on a man. You can never put a man down for going out there and trying and wearing his heart on the shield like Jared Gordon. So shout out to Jared, and congrats to Charles Oliveira. I think that's now 6 finishes in a row for Mr. Du Bronx. I think he's due for a big fight in the top 10 again. I know he stumbled before with Anthony Pettis and Paul Felder. He called for the rematch with Felder because that was the last guy to beat him. And he did call for a fight with Conor McGregor, which I don't think Conor is going to take a fight like that unless he feels he can make him go back to his ways where he quit a couple of times against high-level opponents. Next fight, Mauricio Shogun Rua versus Paul Craig. A split decision. This was a split draw. Paul Craig was beating that ass in the first round. Woo. Landing some crazy strikes. I was not even understanding what has gotten into Paul Craig. I was like, this guy is in there swinging bombs and giving Shogun an opportunity to clip him. And eventually, when he got clipped a couple times and his head is rattling back, he eventually grabs a hold of Shogun, takes him down, or pushes him against the cage and slows him down. Shogun looked busted up. You know, and he's at that age, man. All these fights are wearing on him. I think he's won 5 of 6 of the last 5 or 6 or something like that. Losing to Anthony Smith or 4 or 5. And I don't know if he's going to ever get back to that upper echelon. So it really depends on what Shogun's trying to do with the remainder of his career. Is he just looking for big money fights? Is he looking for a send-off farewell fight? I know he said he told his wife he was only going to do one more after this. But after the split draw, in a fight where he battled back tough for 2 rounds, one of the judges gave Paul Craig a 10-8 first round. Arguably, I can see it. And at the same time, I can say, no, I don't see it. But had he not given him the 10-8 round, that fight goes into the favor of Shogun, and he walks away with a big win in Sao Paulo, Brazil. So where does Shogun go from here? I don't know. Paul Craig wants a rematch in, I believe, Scotland, he said, or something like that. I mean, I'm down for it. I do think it gives Shogun an opportunity to weather the early storm from Paul Craig, or maybe set him up and time him one good time the right way, and like he almost did in this fight, and put him out. But the Bear Jew is a super tough dude, super crafty off his back. Fun fight. It was a fun fight. And it would have been nice to see Shogun go out with a win.
But a draw, I'll take it. Because I like Paul Craig. He's the underdog almost all the time. And the way he goes out there and fights and drag guys into his specialties in the ground game, it's always nice and refreshing to see. Now, the main event. Oh, my goodness. What the fuck was that? Okay. I thought Jacare won first three rounds. I thought Blachowicz won the last two rounds, rounds four and five. Was it by a landslide? Hell motherfucking no. But I thought Jacare did enough by pushing him against the cage. I thought he could have won the fight. 47-46. Is that how you score it? 47, I think 47-46. I believe he said he was, something was off. One of these guys said something was off. I don't know what it was. Both guys looked very timid. Blachowicz didn't want to get taken down. Understandable. Jacare is world class on the ground. So why not try to take Jacare down and solidify one of the rounds and give the crowd some more action? Winning the fight like that does not do dick for you in a now refreshed and tougher division at the 205-pound weight class. We got Dominic Reyes getting a spectacular finish over our guy in Weidman. You have Corey Anderson going out there and get a spectacular finish over what people are calling a hype machine in Johnny Walker. Who else is at that division? Some other guys I just can't put my finger on it. Blachowicz. Either way, that's not the way you want to throw your hat in the title contention mix. Not at all. Very underwhelming fight. You know what? That fight kind of reminded me of Volkanovski versus Jose Aldo. Very slow fight. A lot of inside leg kicks, circling, circling, circling. Push in, clinch him up, push him against the cage. Okay. Very similar fight. There wasn't much going on. A lot of leg kicks, very similar style, pushing him against the cage. And Jacare trying to get the fight down to the ground. I would have liked to see more knees, more elbows in the clinch. Something to get the fans behind, like something exciting might happen. When Blachowicz did open up in that fourth and fifth round, I was starting to get up like, all right, I'm starting to wake up now, wiping the cold out of my eyes. It's about to... No. They're hugging against the cage again. And you know what, man? I'm not going to sit here and act like all my fights have been super exciting. Because these fights do happen. But when it comes to a title contender fight, you know, making a name for yourself, making a statement with new blood, because he's 36 years old. He has to shit or get off the pot. Big win for him. Jacare's 40 years old. He felt great at 205. I would like to see him one more time, one more outing. And Blachowicz is starting to look like the 185-pound killer of dreams. You know, the guys who come up from 185 end up running into him, and he ends up shutting the door in their faces. Very underwhelming. I don't know anyone who was really excited about that fight, you know, but a win is a win and a loss is a loss. Knockout decision. Obviously, people who are diehards are going to say the good stuff, and the people who are just like pieces of shit. Right now, I guess I'm a piece of shit because that fight sucked. I can say that. That fight, and like I said, it doesn't need to be knockouts and finishes all the time, but nothing was happening. And I'm like, damn, it kind of reminded me of Derek Lewis versus Francis Ngannou. What the fuck was that? You know? And those are the fights you're probably ashamed of when you go back and watch it back. Like, you probably don't even watch it back. Maybe one time. And you're like, never again do I want to watch that. You know, it's, we pride ourselves so hard to go out there and do all these fancy and spectacular things and to go out and we perform like that. It's very devastating for the athlete. Very underwhelming and shitty for the fans who are paying their hard-earned dollars to see high-profile, high-caliber athletes, and they go out and perform like that. Guys who could potentially have title implications with a win, and then when that happens, it could be very, like, it leaves you with a little bit of resentment, like, just salty. Just fucking salt. That's pretty much it. Just salt. But other than that, man, we got some time off. I think the next card is December 7th. What is that, like 2 weeks? This week is going to be, yep, then Thanksgiving. Yeah, so about 2 weeks. Let me check my calendar. Give you guys a little update. So today's Monday. We got 1, 2, 3 weeks. Wow, that is a very cool and refreshing break to take. Our next one is in DC, ESPN 7. Alistair Overeem versus Rosenstruck. And then the Bad Blood matchup between, and that's December 7th in DC, Washington, DC. Next, December 14th in Vegas, UFC 245, Colby versus Usman. Finally, Max Holloway versus Volkanovski. And Amanda Nunes versus Jermaine Jerandame. And to end the year, ESPN plus 23, South Korea. Brian Ortega takes on the Korean Zombie. Now, a couple of stuff for our What's Scrapping news. Nick Diaz, I didn't get to watch the interview. I got to watch it. I got to tune in to see what all the hoopla is about. I saw bits and pieces of it on ESPN, and it just looked like a shit show. I did not understand what the fuck I was looking at and listening to. Masvidal had some funny words to say as well. It's like, is he asking me to fight, or is he asking me like for a walk or a date or some shit like that, which was pretty funny. But I heard the interview was 90 minutes and it was cut down to 45 minutes-ish to be featured online. I'm going to go watch it and listen to all the madness. The Gypsy King, Tyson Fury, looking great training with Darren Till. I did post an invite on social media to him to come down and train with some real wrestlers, which would have been cool. Obviously, it was a shot in the dark. I don't think he's coming here. You know, he's overseas. That's where he lives. That's where he's from. It makes sense for him to go train with a guy like Darren Till, who's right there, pretty close neighbors, you know. Probably hopping a skip, short plane ride. And good for him and the European community for him to go over there and be getting some FaceTime with Darren Till. Very popular for both guys. So he says, Stipe says he wants to box me. That would be a great fight for sure. This is Fury. Fury said through management company MTK Global on Tuesday. After I get Deontay Wilder out of the way, I'll fight Stipe in a boxing match if he wants. It would be a big crossover fight like Floyd versus Conor. That would be insane. I would actually love to see that. Stipe is a big boxer. He's definitely going to be the undersized guy in this one and much shorter reach in terms of Tyson Fury. But again, the baddest of the baddest in two different sports. I would like to see it. You know, boxers aren't going to come over to MMA. So again, we're going to have to come over to them once more. We only seen it one time with James Tooney. And look how bad and how quickly that went for that guy. What else did he say? He said, so he should come and see me. It would be the same outcome for any of them. They all get smashed. Fury also stated that he would return the favor and fight in the octagon, having recently trained with Liverpool native Darren Till. Frankie Edgar to fight Corey Enter the Sandman Sanhagen. I don't think it's Enter the Sandman, the Sandman Sanhagen, but whatever. This is going to be a big fight. Former champion Frankie Edgar. I was slated to fight him at MSG. Did not happen. Got the surgery. Today makes 8 weeks out for me. I have 3 more short weeks. I'm super excited about that. Cannot wait. It should actually 3.5 more weeks, but I might go with their 3 weeks instead. Right on the button. We'll see. Because they said 10.5 weeks recovery. If I were to wait the full 11 weeks, I mean, I think that's pretty good enough. But if I went to the 11.5, I think we'd be going either way. We'll figure this out. So that's going to be a big fight. This is going to be 135 pounds. Co-main event at UFC Fight Night, January 25th in Raleigh, North Carolina. I might have to go down there and bring my boy Enoch Maurice and get you some motherfucking tickets, boy. And then we can hang on the gang with the gang. Okay, what else do we have? Yep, this is a bye week for the Giants. Other than that, big tinks. Yo, next week, so I'm going to post this on Reddit where I'm going to try to. For next week, we're going to try to do like an Ask Me Anything, but via the podcast. I want to see if maybe I could do even like a live session and then post the actual entirety for like an hour. And just answering questions, read the question, the name, and then answer the question for the fans on AMA Reddit. I think that would be pretty fun. And I think it would also be killing two stones with one bird. Kill two birds with one stone. Sometimes I kill two stones with one bird. God damn you, fucking Stone. I think that would be fun to do. And what was I saying? Getting at? Oh, yeah. The two birds with one stone. Because a lot of people don't know I have a podcast, so this would probably be a great way for me to integrate that and letting the community know that, you know, this is a weekly thing that we are doing. Myself, Cody Murrow, and we got a new guy on the board who's helping with the thumbnails and everything. John, I think it's Brannigan. He's one of the Sure Dog moderators. So I'm looking forward to doing that next week. Cody and I are going to have to chop it up and figure out how we can make this work. And this week, I am going to a St. John's basketball game for the very first time. Going to go support our local basketball team. The coach is going to, one of the coaches, assistant coaches, is going to help get me tickets. Well, he's got me tickets. He's supposedly going to be in like the VIP area. I don't know if that comes with drinks. But I'm going to go be hanging out. I'm going to try to get two extra tickets so two of my boys can come. Maybe my friend and my one of my brothers. But other than that, man, I'm excited. There's a lot of good things coming along. We're almost at our 1 year anniversary, December 15th. That's going to be the 1 year mark. Officially 52 weeks straight. Have not taken a day off. Knock on wood. Hopefully, this is actually glass. Hopefully, oh, there's wood. So hopefully we don't miss a beat. So thank you guys for rocking with us. Oh man, this is the first time I actually did a pretty short episode. Nice. But I appreciate it, guys. And again, man, if you guys are listening on iTunes, if you're watching the entire videos, I appreciate it. Hopefully we can start getting some sponsors for this and really start to pick things up. And remember, man, like, subscribe, drop a comment. And if you like my shit, subscribe to my shit or spin it. Backfist, motherfucker. Something is wrong with me. I need help. And real quick, before we go and before we close out, shout out to our guys at Manscaped. Use my discount code FUNKMASTER for 20% off for all your Manscaped grooming supplies. They have the Lawnmower 2.0, which works in the shower. Shave your balls, shave your armpits, shave your chest hairs. It's nick free. So go try that shit out. Just don't put the blade on your fucking dick and your ball sack. Don't be dumb. Don't be derm. But nice and easy in the shower. Boom. Clean cut. I love it. Keeps the whole package clean and fresh. And of course, shout out to our guys at HydroCanna. DrinkHydroCanna.com. Go check our guys out. Use my discount code FUNKMASTER. Really cool dudes. They are doing a 20% flash sale. I think they're still going on right now. My discount code is FUNKMASTER. And with orders over $50, you get a free FUNKMASTER t-shirt. The discount code is FUNKMASTER. So remember to hit those guys up. And it's 25 milligrams of CBD, nano CBD, so that you can get rehydration and you can get CBD effects that you actually feel on a cellular level. Because it's like an IV bag in a small shooter or in a HydroCanna oral rehydration stick. You use that, fill it with water. And like I said, it's the equivalent of an IV bag in a pouch. Better than Pedialyte, better than Gatorade, better than Powerade, better than all them other stuffs that people drink. This is the rehydration that you need at the scientifically proven molecular ratio of vitamins. Sodium, chloride, chlorine, and potassium, and there's some other stuff, I think manganese and some other shit. But other than that, thank you guys. I'll see you guys next week. We out.